Selig'im.
Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber. Eşhedü en la ilahe illallah. Eşhedü en la ilahe illallah. Eşhedü enne Muhammeden Resulullah. Eşhedü enne Muhammeden Resulullah. Hayya alessalâh. Hayya alas-salah. Hayya alal-falah. Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber. La ilahe illallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start out by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who controls the matters of our heart. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who turns our heart towards that which is pleasing to Him. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides us and brings us together as one. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that was not just sent as a mercy to mankind, but as an example of how we interact and deal with one another. We send peace and blessings upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family members, those who helped him and aided him. Amma ba'd, thereafter. Our deen Islam, we get our deen from two main sources. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his final moments of his life, he says, "Taraktu fikum amrayn." I leave two things with you. If you hold on to them tight, you'll be guided. But if you let go of them and take something else, then you'll be misguided. This is the foundation of every single belief and action in our deen. To the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, that your deen has been completed. We don't need anything else. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that every new matter is a bid'ah. وَقُلُّ بِدَّةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَقُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, that our deen is complete and we don't need anything else, and anything new that's innovated into our deen, it's a misguidance, and a misguidance will be in the fire of Jahannam. So the question comes, what are those two things? That our whole religion, our faith, our belief system, and our actions rely upon. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَرَقْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنَ Al-Qur'an, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالسُنَّةِ, and the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that everything comes from these two matters. So we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one thing that we see is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for pretty much majority of his life, he lived in a society, in a community that was predominantly non-Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spends 40 years in Makkah al-Mukarramah before he receives revelation. And even though society at that time did some very dark things in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in regards to their responsibilities to one another, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grew up in that society. And as a prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 13 years in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And when he migrates at the age of 53, in the first year of Hijrah, the initial things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does is very important for us. Because there's many lessons. Because in this first year, the Prophet ﷺ is now putting together a community, building a community. He's putting together the foundation blocks. And as soon as the Prophet ﷺ goes into Medina, or even before he goes into Medina, he stops off in a place in Quba, and the first thing that he does is builds a masjid. Why? Because there has to be somewhere where the Muslims congregate and come together as one. The reason being is the masjid is not just a place that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's a place where you interact and deal with one another. The companions tell us through many different hadiths that we would come to the masjid and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would inquire about, hey, where is that person? I haven't seen that person. How are things in your life? What's happening? Do you have any troubles that I can help you out with? Sometimes we have this idea that in the masjid you shouldn't talk. But in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was talk. There was interactions. There were dealings. There was a social part as well. But the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ does to build a community, he puts together a place where people come together as one. Then the Prophet ﷺ from Quba, he goes to Madinatul Munawwara. And once again in Madinatul Munawwara, the Prophet ﷺ, he builds a masjid. Why? Because even here we need a place where people can come together. Now when people come together, the idea isn't that you pray your salah and then quickly run to your car and off back home, that everybody is within their own silos. Because what happens then is a community is not built. The role of a masjid is to build a community. But if you pray your salah and quietly get back to your car, you haven't taken part within the community. To take part in the community is that you begin to interact with people. You talk with people. Then the Prophet ﷺ, in the same first year, he takes the two different tribes within Medina and he builds a brotherhood, taking the Aus and the Khazraj, these two tribes, and said, you know what? Let's build a brotherhood, taking the Ansar and taking the Muhajir.
and building a brotherhood.
And what this means is, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did this akhwa, the companion said that our new brothers were more beloved to us than our actual brothers. Abdurrahman bin Auf says that my Ansari brother came to me and said, whatever is mine, now 50% is yours. That's how much the fact that you are my Muslim brother means to me. That whatever is mine, now it's 50% yours. And Abdurrahman bin Auf says, do you want, I appreciate it, but just show me where the market is. The next thing that the Prophet ﷺ does, and this is important, is the Prophet ﷺ puts together peace treaties and charters and builds together with the non-Muslims in Medina and Thumma Nawra. Because keep in mind, Rasulullah ﷺ just came from Makkah to Mukarramah, where things were very hostile, where there was no peace. And Rasulullah ﷺ comes into Medina, and as he's building the foundation to this community, he says the number one thing that we need is safety. That the Muslims and the non-Muslims, how can we live together with security that you will not harm us and we will not harm you? That when trouble comes to us, you will stand up for us, and when trouble comes to you, we will stand up for you. And this is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put together the charter between the Muslims and non-Muslims within Medina to Munawwara. And this teaches us where we have a sense of loyalty and community within the Muslim Brotherhood. On a larger scale, we also have it with the non-Muslim as well. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he make these treaties, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held on to them. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, "Ad-dinun nasiha." Religion is sincerity. Our religion is all about being clear, upfront, 100% sincere. The companions asked, "Ya Rasulullah, liman? Who should we be sincere to?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immatil muslimin wa ammati." That your sincerity, number one, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa li rasuli, to the messenger, to the leaders, as well as the common folk, anybody that you interact with, there has to be a level of sincerity. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Al-Muslimu man salima." A Muslim is a person who other people are safe from his tongue, from his hands, from his actions. "Al-Mu'minu man amana." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a believer is a person that gives peace to their wealth and their honor and their physical being. Teaching us that a Muslim is a person that looks to bring people together. We can take this on a community level. We can take this on a global level. But the role of a Muslim is how a Muslim should be inclusive. Not exclusive. Exclusive is, hey, you're different, we are different, khalas. But a Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's approached by Abdullah bin Salam. Abdullah bin Salam, who was a non-Muslim scholar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him and asks him his name. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Afshu salam." Afshu salam, he says, spread peace. Now, if you look at this, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say spread peace amongst the Muslims, or spread peace amongst the Ansar, or spread peace amongst the Muhajir. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abdullah bin Salam, you become an ambassador of peace. Afshu salam. Whoever it is, spread peace. Wa atimu ta'am. Number two, feed people. Break bread with people. Come together. Interact with people. When you sit down and eat, you're talking. You're breaking down these barriers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, wasilul arham, and take care of your relationships. Your aunts, your uncles, your parents, your children, your spouse. Our relationships, again, each one of these relationships, they take nurturing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adds on to there, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. And when people are sleeping at night, so these four things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Abdullah bin Salam. Number one, be an ambassador of peace. Number two, interact with people, feed them, eat with them. Break bread. Don't just be in your own little world. Number three, take care of your relationships. Whether that relationship is of blood or whether that relationship is of neighbors, of living in the community, you have a responsibility. There are so many different hadith that talk about the rights of a neighbor, and not a single one says that that is only if they are Muslim. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized so much the right of a believer that I thought that they would be included into the inheritance. Scholars say that neighbors are 40 houses, but not a single place is there an exclusion of non-Muslims, that the only Muslim neighbors deserve your good treatment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number four, says, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ, and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when other people are asleep. In return, by doing these four things, what you get is تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِالسَّلَامِ. You will enter Jannah with peace. Now if you flip this around and look at it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam basically is telling us that if you want to enter Jannah with peace, these are four steps for you. Don't teach hatred. Teach peace, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Number two, interact with people. Number three, take care of relationships. Number four, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you were to do these four things, you're taking care of your responsibility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as with your responsibility with the people around you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says this in the early stages of entering into Medina. Why? Because if we are to build a community where people can live with peace, with safety, with not having to worry about being harmed by another group, then these steps have to be taken. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the first year of coming to Medina to Marwa, he took care of these things. Now, throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see this quality of unity. For example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncle passed away, Abu Talib, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is deeply affected, even though Abu Talib wasn't Muslim. So with Abu Talib, if you look at it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no uniformity, but there was unity. Abu Talib was different. His beliefs were different. His actions were different. But yet there was unity amongst him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Asma bint Abu Bakr, she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my mother, the first wife of Abu Bakr, wasn't Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Asma, be good to your mother. A non-Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had borrowed money from a non-Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had interaction, had trust with people of other faith. And this person comes and he grabs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his collar and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, you've taken money from me. Yes, you're supposed to pay by that day, but I want my money now. Pay me. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was there. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's not a person that would stand for something like that. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'ni adrib unukuhu. Give me permission, I'll take this person's head off. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar, this is what you're going to do now. You're going to go, get the money from there, pay him, and then pay him double. Why? Because of the harsh words that you said to him. This person is a non-Muslim. But the words that you said were harsh enough that now you have to pay him. And this teaches us what? That the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that be mindful of your words to the people around you. What happens in return? The beauty of Rasulullah ﷺ is Rasulullah ﷺ, he didn't spread Islam through, you know, being rough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if you were to be rough in your speech, and if you were to spew hatred, what will happen? People will move further away from you. But what the Prophet ﷺ did is, he spoke to people with kindness, with mercy. And in return, it brought people closer. The same man who were moments ago came and grabbed the Prophet ﷺ by the collar, he then comes and says, I want to accept Islam. That you spoke to one of your closest people like that, and you made him pay because of how he spoke to me. And there are so many examples like this. When the Prophet ﷺ, year number two of the Hijrah, before the Battle of Badr, there was an incident called the incident of Nakhla. And two captives were from the Quraysh were brought to the Muslims. And they were held as captives for some time. One of them, after staying with the Muslims for a period of time, he goes to Mecca and then comes back and he says, I want to become Muslim. Of how you treated me. And each one of these incidents, again, we take our religion from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran tells us, when the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is being told to go to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun was a mass murderer. He had a genocide at that time. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is told, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him softly. Speak to him with mercy. Why? He may fix himself. The Sunnah tells us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he changed people by the softness. At the time of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, as the Prophet ﷺ is about to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and he's performing his final tawaf, it was his youngster. He goes to the leaders of Quraysh and says that we've handed over Makkah too easily. Very beautiful, these. He says, let me try something. They say, okay, go ahead. This youngster takes a dagger and hides it in his clothes. And he goes to do tawaf where the Prophet ﷺ is. And Rasulullah ﷺ sees him and he asks him, why are you here? And this person says, out of all the people, the Prophet ﷺ singled me out and asked me, why am I here? And I said to Muhammad, I'm just here to worship the way that you're worshiping. The next round, the Prophet ﷺ asked him once again, why are you here? And he says the same answer. I'm just here to worship. And then the Prophet ﷺ says to him that if you're here to worship, then why do you have that dagger hidden? He narrates his hadith. He says, moments before, the most wretched person, the person who I hated the most, was Muhammad ﷺ. But as the Prophet ﷺ said that, he put his hand on my chest. He could have told Khalid bin Walid. He could have told Umar. He could have told Ali. He could have told Zubair bin Awam. And all of them would have taken care of me. But the Prophet ﷺ chose to combat my hostility with mercy. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ is Rahmatul lil alameen, not just Rahmatul lil muslimin. He said, the Prophet ﷺ put his hand on my chest, and when his hand touched my chest, even though moments ago he was the most hated towards me, As his hand touched my chest, I felt his mercy. He could have finished me, but he showed mercy. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the most beloved to me when he showed me mercy. And this is the foundation of building a community that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in Madinatul Munawwarah. And for our community, those same ingredients are needed. And that is peace. Afshu salam. Wa at'imu ta'am. Come together on a table. Wasilu arham. Take care of your relationships with blood relationships as well as in your community. And then your relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa sallu bil-layl wa nasu niyam. And in return, tadkhul al-jannata bis-salam. Aqul qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin. Fastaghfiru innahu ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Whereas the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم teaches us to be ambassadors of peace, he صلى الله عليه وسلم also teaches us that when you see something wrong, then do something. And if you cannot do something, then say something. And if you cannot say something, then at least acknowledge it. وَذَٰلِكَ أَضَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And in the world we live in today, this khutbah is not to say that it's okay what's happening, because that's absolutely not the case. Rather, to acknowledge wrong as wrong and to acknowledge right as right. To understand that what's happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters, as the Muslims are one body, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muslimuna ka jasadun wahid, in ishtaka aynuhu, in ishtaka ra'tsu, wa in ishtaka ra'tsu, in ishtaka kullu. The Muslim ummah is like a body. If in ishtaka ra'tsu, if the eye hurts, the head will hurt, and if the head hurts, the whole body will hurt. And a part of being inclusive is to feel the pain of our Muslim brothers and sisters across the world. And for this, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting off, commands us in the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask you have mercy upon the Muslim Ummah أو الله سبحانه وتعالى wherever there is a Muslim suffering أو الله we ask you remove that suffering أو الله سبحانه وتعالى we ask that you have mercy upon our Muslim brothers and sisters in Palestine. O Allah, wherever there is a Muslim being tortured, we ask that you remove that suffering. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is a human being oppressed, we ask that you remove that oppression. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give them shelter. O Allah, we ask that you give them peace. O Allah, we ask that you give them safety. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you put an end to this senseless killing. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no door to turn to. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no one to answer their prayers. O Allah, we feel their pain. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua on their behalf. And we ask that you help them. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for unity amongst our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for peace and safety amongst our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you guide our youth. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you keep them on the straight path. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you forgive our sins, that you overlook our shortcomings, that you pardon our mistakes. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from oppression. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from your displeasure. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for Jannah and the actions that bring us close to Jannah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al-mursaleen. والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, hayya 'alal falah. Qad qamatis salah, qad qamatis salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله There is a dua maghfirah for Sister Mumtaz Khan and Brother Faizi Ahmed Siddiqui. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the transition from this world to the next world a pleasant transition, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the grave from the garden of paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives our family members peace and patience and strength during this hard time. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. A couple of quick announcements as you're headed out the door. Tonight we do have a program, a foster care program, learning the processes of becoming a foster parent today. It's going to be after Isha Salat, 7:45, with a light dinner being served. Tomorrow we have our Bright Futures dialogue of on drug abuse prevention. You can join the ICF Youth to learn more about how we can prevent drug abuse within the Muslim community tomorrow. It's at 1 o'clock p.m. We have a voter registration drive at the back of the lobby today. If you bring a valid photo ID or Texas driver's license with your current address, you can sign up to vote. Pure Hands Yemen Relief Benefit Dinner is being hosted at Crystal Banquet Hall on January 20th at 5:30 p.m. If you'd like to support their mission of a village revival benefit dinner, you can do so and sign up on the QR code located, again, at the back of the lobby. Jazakallah, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.